And it's great to have you here. It's a really exciting day, I think, in the life of the church. For me, it's exciting to have Bishop Oscar with us and his... I've got to tell you a story, though. We have a guest. We try to look after our guests. And so Oscar needed to be picked up from the airport. So I said, well, I will do that because I want to make sure our guests feel honoured. And I was told by his friends that there was some luggage at Bexley North I had to pick up first. And so I got in my little Renault Clio, because nothing but the best for our guests. If you know my car, it's a little car that I love driving. And I went to pick up the bags at Bexley North, and I was given four bags about this big. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I was told that his wife, Beatrice, was also there. And I thought, oh no. So we got these four bags in, I folded the back down, I got rid of this, and there was a little bit of space here for Beatrice or Oscar to sit. And then I said to the girl who I was picking the bags up for, I said, is his wife tall? And she went, she didn't say anything. I'm thinking, oh, here we go. I get to the airport. I don't go to the airport very often, so I park in the furthest car. I park in the first car park I see, P3. And then I discover it's a long way down to T2. I meet them. I'm stressed. I run down there. We walk out. They have now two, because you take your own luggage. They've been on the road for months. You take it, they've got bags this big. I said, oh, my goodness, mate. I said, oh, I've got the small car. We walk out of the terminal. We turn the wrong way because it's just all confusing. I walk them down the end with all of their bags. I say, oh, we're lost. They're being very gracious. We walk all the way up. You don't know how long P1 goes for. It just goes on and on and on. P2, we must be there now. Just wait. No, all the way past P2 to P3. We get up to my little Renault Clio. They're so nice, these people. They're so nice. They look at my little car and they're smiling. We shove one bag in somehow. I try to put the other bag in. There's another lighter bag. I pull it out. I put the other one in. I say, Oscar, I think you'll have to carry this bag on. You think, we get in. Beatrice sits in the back like this. Oscar sits in the front like this with his bag facing this way. And so I say to him, Oscar, I can't see my left mirror. So he turns his bag up into his face like this. And then I said, this is not going to work. So we just shoved it in the back with Beatrice. So then we drove home and through Thursday afternoon traffic all the way to Pennant Hills in my little Clio like this with Beatrice stuck in the back with all these. And seriously, I couldn't see a thing out the back, and I'm not used to using the left mirror because I don't usually need to. It's just turn your head. We got back. But all of this story is to say I'm so glad for that car trip. Because the reason we had that car trip is I thought Oscar was coming by himself, two or three bags, not a problem. But we got a wonderful grace gift that made our road trip to the thing, and that's Oscar's wife, Beatrice. So I'd like to invite her up here. I'd like you to give her a round of applause. Because I really need you to be warm and friendly this morning with our guests, because I feel like I'm still making atonement for the car trip. So good to have you with. You've been a delight as I've spent time with you. I want to ask you about your two things. You also serve in ministry at Nairobi Chapel, and these guys have a big vision. So, Beatrice, can you tell us a little bit about what your heartbeat is with the church and the chapel and the work you've been doing throughout Kenya?
Good morning, church. No matter what Pastor John says, we have felt the love and the warm welcome of this church, and we're so grateful. I'll share just a little bit about our context. Actually, the whole world over, a third of the world population is under the age of 18. But Africa is a very young continent, so in my country, the average age is actually 19. In some of the others, it will be 16. So work with children is very special and important. I could just quickly say that we are 80% Christian as a nation. But even though we are such a big figure of Christians, the majority of the children will not be in the churches on Sunday. So one significant thing we have done as a church is to make a commitment to go to the community and to the schools, because the government allows us one lesson a week where we can teach the Bible. So one of the things that we have spent the last few years doing is putting together a curriculum that allows us to significantly evangelize and disciple children within our churches. We did this as a consortium, bringing together pastors and key leaders from many other denominations, and it's been such a joy to work together. And the government did approve this work that we began 5 years ago, 2 years ago, and we are now committing to do that in the churches. As a church, we are very committed to establishing schools, because we've discovered, although there are so many children who are from a very poor background, that education lifts up children, and we have a unique opportunity to evangelize and disciple them. So one of our commitments is to have a school in every county of our country, and there are 47. Right now we have 3, and we're committed to keep on establishing more. And when we go to these schools, we establish, our vision is educating for life and for eternity.
It's exciting. She's a great leader, just hearing the stories, leading all this children's work and this school's work. Can you tell us a little bit about your family? And I'm particularly interested in you telling the story about the big change. I mean, family is massive, but the big changes that happened about, 14 or 13 years ago, whatever it was.
Okay. Well, we have 7 daughters and 2 sons-in-law, who I like to call my sons-in-law. So my oldest turned 30 today. We're celebrating our 30th today. And my youngest is 12. But the first 3 are our biological children. And we were committed to having them in a hurry. We thought we'd just have a very small family, so they're quite close in age. So I keep saying I've got 2 generations in my home. But do you know each one of us are adopted into God's family? And somehow there's a stirring in our heart that we, who have been adopted into God's family, could be a part of adoption. Historically, we had a very big situation of many, many orphans out of the HIV and AIDS crisis. And we pray that God's people will be moved because they have been adopted to adopt children. And we just felt God calling us to do it. And we had this conviction, and we asked the Lord to lead us to a child that would be least likely to be adopted. So many years ago, 2005, God led us to this little girl who, when she was born in 2000, they genuinely thought she would never live through her first year because she was so sick. And then they thought she would never live to her 5th year, and that is when God brought us into her life and brought her into our life. And we remember our own daughters have been healthy and it's been very easy, but we remember asking God, how could we do this? And the Lord assuring us that he would allow her to live. And we prayed this prayer, John 10:10, Lord, heal her. And if you won't heal her, please allow that she would know the fullness of life that is given in Christ Jesus, John 10:10. And God has been so gracious. And just before we came out, we celebrated her 18th birthday. God allowed her to live. But to cut a long story short, Pastor John, 4 years ago, God asked us again, could he have our home and our hearts? And he brought in 3 new daughters. When we began on the journey, we thought there were just 2 because we didn't know that they had a sister. But once we made this commitment to bring these 2 girls into our home, we discovered they had a sister. And through the social worker, we looked for her. And so that's how we count 7. You know, 7 is a perfect number. So we are really excited, and over the 4 years, God has brought us together as a family. And I just want to make an appeal. If anyone here can do this, it's us as God's people who've been adopted. If you have a space, you may have a room in your house that never gets used. The Lord may want you to foster or to adopt a baby, a child, and to give them a sense of belonging into God's special family. So that's been our journey as the Moriu family. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Beatrice. Give her a round of applause of gratitude. I haven't asked. I'm going to look at somebody up the back and I'm going to tell a story as I look at this person. So if they don't want me to, they better shake their head. I was talking to Tom and Jane Smith a couple of weeks ago. And Jane, as many of you know, works in legal cases for children who are in terrible situations in our state, representing them. And Jane was saying that most of the children in need of foster care, and there are oodles, the first place they tend to go is to families who want money, often living in state housing, often in very dysfunctional communities, and they'll take foster children just to get the money for these foster children. The other place they're putting a lot of effort into is the LGBTI community. So if you go to the gay Mardi Gras, there are explicit ads asking people to take foster children. And many homosexual couples and single people who identify as homosexual are taking foster children. And Jane said to me, "Where are the Christians?" Now, that's a huge sacrifice. It scares me when she says that. It scares me when I talk to Beatrice about this, but I just want to put that challenge before myself. Beatrice was also saying she prayed really, really hard and long to seek God before she took her first adopted daughter. It's a challenge I want to leave with you, that I was challenged through Beatrice this week. Julian, enough of me. Julian's going to come and he's going to introduce our guest speaker, Oscar.
Thanks, John. Hi, everyone. I'm Julian. Oscar, come on up. So some of you, if you don't know me, I'm Julian. I work with the younger folk at church. Do you have a microphone on? Your microphone?
I think so. Is it on? Yeah, I think so. I can hear myself.
Happy days. Okay, Oscar, so some opening questions. Australia, is this your first time to Australia?
No, it's not. I've been here about 10 times, maybe okay. 10 plus times. Yeah.
Cool. I've done my research, so you can see I'm bang on with the interview. Can you share something that's really similar in terms of your hometown, that from what you see here in Australia, and maybe something that's really different?
Wow. Okay. Well, Australia is Sydney. I've largely been in Sydney. I've been to Melbourne once, but largely
it's not
been
worth
in
going.
Sydney.
It's okay. It's fine.
And and it's a very beautiful city. Very, you know, well laid out, manicured, just really beautiful.
So that's the people or the town?
Well, both.
Oh, okay, that's nice. Okay, great. And so
ours is very chaotic.
Oh, and, chaotic how?
And Sydney's laid out, over quite a large surface area. If you think of African cities, they tend to be a tenth of the size of Sydney, but 3 times as much population. It's just very crowded, all living on top of each other, and the roads don't follow a pattern. There's no grid. It's just real chaos.
Wow. Yeah. So we have Pennant Hills Road to sort of connect that sort of divide. But okay, cool. We know that you have a passion for young people. Mm. So I wanted to ask you, if you were, when you were, say, 16, when you were a young person yourself, what would you be doing at this time? 10:30 on a Sunday morning, what would you be doing?
Well, I was a really messed up kid. Oh. So, I didn't know where I was coming from, going to. I just, wanted to live the life. I was doing the party scene and, just really messing my life up. It was at the age of 20. That I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior. But those teen years for me were rough and unfocused and directionless and not a good example of what you should be in your teen years.
Sure, yeah. Okay, we'll keep that classified then. But you saying that you're so directionless, you've got direction, lacking focus. Were there any changes in your 20s that happened? Any like key... events.
Well, I got an opportunity after my high school to go and study in India. And I took up the opportunity because I'd never been on a plane, I'd never traveled outside my country, and I wanted to do this. And, I got a scholarship and I could go and be in India for 3 years, and so I went. And I think the reality of India forced me to begin to ask the big questions of life about myself. Where am I going? What is my life about? What's my purpose here on earth? And it was in the midst of asking those difficult, philosophical questions of life that I began to turn towards the truths of scriptures and scripture. And I had a friend who knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and we spent long hours arguing together about, you know, what is life and what is the purpose of life and is there a God, and if there is a God, who is he? And slowly God just won over my heart, and at the end of my studies in my final year, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, and it completely changed my life. It was the best decision I've ever made, and it transformed me completely and gave me direction and purpose. And I've been on that, you know, purpose for the last 30 plus years and really enjoyed my relationship with the Lord and serving him. Yeah.
Wow. That's a huge encouragement. So some of you know that after church today, Oscar, you're coming to our place. We're going to have lunch. God will provide the food through my wife. He will continue to provide food. So if you identify as young, you're welcome. Come over for lunch. Two more questions I wanted to ask. Just lately, has there been a particular time you remember where someone, a young person in your life, was just a really big encouragement to you?
Yeah. We have a lot of young people in the church who also feel the call of God on their life. You know, every year we take in about 40 young people who feel they want to go into ministry. And I think one of the people that just really challenged me recently was a young girl who's just finished her, you know, university studies, had a very hard life, grew up in a very dysfunctional family, without a father, and, you know, just poverty, really had to pull themselves out of, you know, the mire with their bootstrings, and she came to know the Lord, and the Lord, you know, has just done amazing, wonderful things in her life. And she joined this program, and after a year of, you know, preparation, we sent her to India to work in North India as a missionary. And she was all over the place sharing the gospel and leading people to Christ. And the amazing thing is that, you know, she's black as a piece of coal, and, you know, and so was an oddity in India because, of course, you know, they're a different color. And so people had an interest to know, who are you and where are you coming from? And is this color real? Or, you know, do you get up every morning and sort of like, you know, spray yourself with black or something? But she led quite a number, I think about 30 or 40, you know, Indians from Hinduism into Christianity. She said it was the toughest thing she's ever done, but she loved every minute of it. And wow. She really challenged me. I mean, you know, just her life, her passion for Christ, and her desire to be used of the Lord. And so we're sending her now to the U.S. because we're planting a church in San Francisco. And so we're sending her over there to go and work with the team that's there. But just really amazing and just in love with the Lord. And her life is making a difference. Yeah.
Wow. So in love with God, willing to serve, willing to learn. Yeah, sounds like a huge encouragement. Last question. So you have 7 daughters. How come your hair's still dark? What's your secret, man?
Oh, girls are just wonderful. I don't know about boys, but girls are just wonderful. And
I'm going to stop this interview now because I see my wife's face. So it's time to end it. Cool, let's pull the plug. All right, thank you so much. We look forward to hearing from you very soon. Thank you, Oscar.
Thank you.